Baby, don't make me spell it out for you.
Thank you, Steve.
All of the feelings that I
this is a hard song
you.
To talk around, you know, because every time you think she's done, she just jumps back in with another lyric.
Who is this?
Yeah, baby, Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe.
This is the girl I love. I knew I loved this the minute it started.
Now, remind me, you didn't know anything about her, and then you saw her on an award show?
Yeah.
Sure it was?
On the Grammys.
And then you became
a huge fan.
Gigantic fan.
She's so good.
Got a nice
and
voice.
She is. She dances.
Robotically?
She's very Prince-like to me.
Oh. We need a new Prince. There's, you know, there's a gap. We
princess.
Need a new Prince. Well, yeah, Princess. Yeah.
Ooh, I love her.
Without a doubt. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Should be a good show. As Wendy pointed out during the crosstalk, we've got not one, but two of the best comedians working today. Dave Attell will join us at 10:35. He's very, very funny. And then Maria Bamford is in studio at 11:05. I can't wait to meet her.
God, I love her.
Very anxious to meet her.
She is unusual.
The thing that people should know, this is the way if people aren't aware of her, I always say, I already liked her a lot, but here's what she did that won me over. She did a comedy special at her parents' apartment where they were the only audience. So she's standing there with a microphone, and she's doing comedy for her parents as they sit on a couch and show little to no approval of anything she's doing during the show. It was just fantastic.
That carried over into Lady Dynamite, her show that she did.
Yeah.
I was telling you off the air, and I may be remembering this incorrectly, but Ed Begley Jr. played her dad.
Yes.
And then there was an episode or two where her dad played her dad without any mention, and then the next episode, Ed Begley Jr. was back. It was just out there.
So we need to find out, was that a conscious decision? You know how every once in a while on a show, they'll switch Darren's or they'll switch Becky's?
Yes.
Was that her version of that? Just not call attention to it, swap out Ed Begley Jr. for your real dad and then bring him back and just not address it? I don't know.
I don't know
what went on behind the scenes, but that's pretty funny.
Maybe Ed Begley Jr. because he's in everything.
He's very busy.
Do you remember when we thought everyone kind of thought he was a little out there because electric cars, really?
He was the punchline to a joke.
From everyone.
From everybody. Yeah, because he was the first guy that I know of that said, we got to make a switch to electric cars. And everybody goes, oh, yeah,
exactly.
Sure we do. Right, Ed Begley Jr. Absolutely.
All right, your favorite Dave Attell moments?
You know, I can't pinpoint a single moment. He just has this energy. He's got this attitude and this energy. And there was a special that I watched about the way stand-up comedy has changed over the years. And I don't know who it was, but they said that most comics now are doing a version of Dave Attell. If you haven't seen him, he's got there is a certain attitude that he brings to the stage. And whatever he talks about, it's his point of view. I mean, every comic you could say that about, but he's got a very, very specific way of dealing with things. And I kind of see that I don't want to say anger, but there's a spite
edge.
To him. Yeah, an edge to him.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. So they'll both be on. Like I said, Dave Attell comes on with us at 10:35 in about a half hour, and then Maria Bamford will be in studio at 11:05. Can't wait.
But wait, there's more. We're also going to be talking to Dean Richards, who's funny in his own right.
Yes.
And I'm very excited to invite the listeners to come join us on the stream today.
Because?
The IKEA hunk is going to be joining us.
You may have to explain. I know who it is only because you enlightened me to this guy, but explain to everybody else who this is, please.
I bought an IKEA, I think it's called Calyx shelving unit. There are 16 cubes. They fit an album perfectly.
It looks like the set of the Hollywood Squares,
yes.
Kind of, right?
Yes, four across, four down, because the Bradys were only 3-3, right?
Yes.
Okay, because yes. That's what we tried.
Hollywood Squares is also 3-3.
Oh.
It's like it's an elongated version of that.
It's only $109, and it holds like over 20 albums per cube.
Yes.
And there are 16 of them, and it looks cool. I was worried about assembling it because the IKEA people don't give you words, just pictures of goofy-looking people.
Yes.
And so I Googled and saw a YouTube video, and this IKEA hunk popped up, and he showed how to build various items from IKEA, and he's got nice hair that he stops and kind of flips through.
He looks like all the Hemsworth brothers,
yes.
Mashed into one human being.
He's got this tool belt on, and he's got a red striped beard, so at one point he takes a sip of a beer and then puts it in his little tool belt. a beer holder. Gotta love him.
Was that the moment you fell in love with this guy? Write that in there.
Yes. And he helped me figure out how to put this IKEA shelving unit together.
Was there a word of dialogue like, Jimmy, when are you going away on vacation?
No.
Anytime soon? Nothing
are
like that?
Are you kidding?
Just
I have curious. Videos to watch every day. He's on YouTube. He's the IKEA hunk. He'll be on with us on the stream. And just to give the phone number out, because it's a different one when we're on the stream from noon to 1, 312-235-2525. You can write that down, 312-235-2525.
Let's take a little break, and then I'll tell you what three-quarters of Americans are afraid of. What could it be?
Gum on the shoe.
Oh, you ruined it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We're hoping for a good show today. David Tell joins us 10:35. Maria Bamford at 11:05. Dean Richards comes by later on to talk about movies. And then the IKEA hunk Tom Purcell joins us during the stream. It's a full show mostly because the new owners are coming in and we wanted to show off mostly. I made a poster for them.
Oh, no. Did you?
Yeah. Welcome, great guys, it says, with glitter. I used three different colors of glitter.
Glitter glue?
No, just glitter.
Okay.
I should have used glue.
Yeah, they have glitter glue.
I was not thinking about that. That's why the glitter keeps falling off when I hold the sign up. I heard this during Steve Grzanich's news earlier. These self-driving cars are going to be a reality very, very soon. They keep test marketing them, and for the most part, it has gone well. We've had one minor mishap or two. Well, I shouldn't even say mishap. Somebody got killed in one of these mishaps. But in a new survey released, 71% of respondents said that they are afraid to ride in a self-driving car.
Put me on that list.
I'm on the list, too. I am, too. And I get it that it's going to be a reality very, very soon. They've been working on this for a while, and they keep saying, hey, get ready, because it's going to be. And I don't know what it is about it, but just the idea, if a car pulled up to my house and it was my time to get in, and I saw there was no driver, I would make a phone call and go, could you send one of those other cars that have a guy in the front or a girl in the front to steer it and stuff? I'm not ready for a self-driving car
I'm not
yet.
Doing that.
I'm surprised the number's so high.
I'm not.
It's almost three-quarters of the people who were in the survey. That's a bunch of people. Why aren't you?
I just think that we need to see people. It's just
right,
weird.
I know.
And I don't even like getting in the elevator without the attendants anymore.
You don't trust it?
No. I want someone there to blame if something goes wrong.
Right. I think that's what it comes down to, is should something awful, awful happen, you go, well, it's the guy driving's fault. He had to have seen the other car coming with nobody driving. Although, I'm sure you've been in places like airports where they have those like shuttle monorails and stuff like that where you get in.
Makes me nervous.
No one's driving that. That's just an automatic thing.
How come there are not? Well, maybe that's a good reason to have driverless things, because I don't think there are many accidents with that.
Those vacuums you put in your house that robot around your carpet?
Right?
Roomba? No one's driving Roomba?
Nobody's driving that.
I think those are fine.
Mice jump up on there. Giddy up.
That would be adorable to have a mouse in a bus driver's outfit sitting on there. Just maneuvering it around your kitchen. Try for that. I would love to see that. Are you happy that the planes that have given us trouble, the Boeing planes, the 737s, they're not going to fly? Are you happy about that?
Yes. My son was telling me there's a software issue. The nose is down. I read then after he told me that because of the government shutdown, there were problems with figuring out a lot of the pilots aren't really trained or equipped to deal with this. This is really frightening.
Every bit of information that has come out in the last couple of days about this is exactly what you said, and it all adds up to frightening. Like every single part of it, especially the part about the pilots not being 100% ready.
Trained.
That's very upsetting.
That is not right. I mean, I know when you buy a new car, there are a lot of bells and whistles that I bet in how long have you had your car, you still don't know what some of the little buttons do.
Most of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, you put it in drive, you go.
Yeah.
An airplane's a little different.
Right. I have...
Well, the pilots are trained to fly the planes. The pilots have expressed confidence in the planes.
And some, there was one unnamed guy.
Anonymously.
Yes,
well,
I guess.
I mean, it's not.
Who said that they weren't trained and the manuals are worse than an IKEA put together thing.
Right. I mean, it's not unanimous, but I think the pilots' unions and others are saying that they've got confidence in the jets.
What was all right? So the part about the government shutdown and that being part of the problem, how exactly does that play in? I'm confused as to how that became part of this factor.
I don't know the answer to that. I saw that headline, too. I didn't read that story.
I read a little of it, and evidently I am not versed in this.
All right. All right.
What I am versed in is, you know, Johnny Depp. Did you hear about the reverse lawsuit here?
No.
Well, Amber Heard, of course, sued Johnny Depp for domestic abuse. And now Depp has filed a $50 million lawsuit against Amber Heard. He filed it on March 1st. And it turns out he was the one getting abused. Depp's lawsuit has been made available to view online. He's saying Heard's allegations of domestic abuse are nothing more than an elaborate hoax. Mm. Evidently, his finger was severed. The suit, which accuses Heard of being a perpetrator of domestic abuse, also alleges that Heard attacked Depp numerous times, including an incident where Heard violently threw a bottle of vodka at Depp, which severed his middle finger on his right hand and shattered the bones.
Wow.
Now, I don't know. This could be a big hoax. You know how the hoaxes are going around that people have died? But that's pretty interesting.
Isn't it sad when two people that seem to at one point have been madly in love, unless we were all being fooled by it, but anytime you saw them together, they seemed right for each other. They seemed to be not only getting along, but very happy to be in each other's company. And then you find out stuff like this.
That you never know what's brewing in someone else's pot. You really don't.
That's very upsetting, though. So, a read?
But that, you know, again, the internet is, again, I read the headline about the government shutdown affected the training of pilots.
Yeah,
be careful what you read.
Yeah.
I could be perpetrating a hoax.
I think John Williams, the last couple of days, has been doing one of his online surveys to find out if you had a flight and you got to the airport and you found out that your flight was on one of these Boeing 737s. Would you fly? Would you be okay with it? We just get on the plane and go, look, it's going to be fine. I know we've had a couple of incidents with these planes. Or would you try to change your flight? I have to be honest with you. I would consider changing the flight at this stage.
You just consider?
Yeah.
Because you know me, I'm not a good flyer. There's no way I'd get on that plane.
Well, see, the problem is, though, it's not like they would just put you on another plane immediately.
Right. There'd be a hassle involved.
Right.
And you may not be able to get out that day, but
they also said that there could be up to a $200 transfer fee, that if you came to the airport and said, look, I'm not happy with the style of aircraft you're throwing me, so put me on another flight, that you could be charged up to $200,
I deal with that. It does not seem fair?
No, I don't think
so. Yeah, I deal with that with the travel business. And if you change a ticket or you change a name on the ticket, usually the fee I've run across is like $150.
So Steve, if
someone's got to type in the new number.
Extenuating circumstance, though. This is for fear of safety,
your fear. It's not, if the FAA and the government and the airlines don't share your concern and you just say, hey, it's a Thursday and I'm scared today, that's not their responsibility.
New plane. There have been issues. And how does this get shut down if the FAA says it's okay?
I don't know the answer to that. Steve, do you know?
Well, everyone else in the world did it first.
Yeah, we were the last ones.
I know.
And Boeing said they advised it. I think they did after the FAA out of an overabundance of caution. But
Right. So as of now, that plane is not being flown anywhere, Steve. Do we know the answer to that or not?
Yeah, I believe it's grounded now.
Interesting.
Boeing ended up grounding it globally, I think.
Wow. All right. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got a lot more show, all kinds of guests on today's show. Stick around for that.
Pardon me, Steve, but did you say snow? What the heck?
Oh, it's 65 today. Enjoy it.
And somebody has texted, hey, Wendy, Bill, and especially Steve, light rain my tookus. It's a torrential downpour here in Oak Lawn.
Yeah, down, as I said, south of the city and a little bit southeast, there's a line going. It's kind of moving from the southwest to the northeast.
You used to give special reports, weather reports for Oak Lawn, Steve. You don't do that anymore, though, huh?
Well, you know, no.
No? Too time-consuming?
This is going to make a bad joke.
A great nap day, so if anyone would like to take a nap during our show.
Are you going to take a nap during the show?
I may.
Right. Just
open
give me
the windows.
Yep.
Yeah, I am so with you.
A light rumble of thunder.
Yeah.
That would be nice for a nap.
That or bowling. I like the sound effects of bowling as well when
I'm
napping.
It's a thunderous noise.
Yeah, you're right.
The way the ball hits the pins and they disperse, it's a very thundery sounding noise.
I like it.
But yeah, it was hard as a kid if you'd watch bowling on TV to not get drowsy. And they would talk really quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Like we always watched in the basement because we were afraid of storms.
Were you? Because I'm still to this day, I have such an irrational fear of tornadoes. I know most people would be afraid of tornadoes.
Oh, yeah.
But we're getting into tornado season, and now a tornado season can happen year-round.
But you've never been anywhere near one, have
you? We drove through one in the Smoky Mountains on the way to Florida one year.
That's with your current family or when you were the kid in the equation
when
family?
When I was a kid, that's the year I threw up in my Mickey Mouse ears. Because it was really
treacherous.
You've
never had a trip where something tragic didn't either happen or come within inches of happening.
Now I have as an adult.
But as a kid, every trip you took, there was danger around every corner.
Maybe that's why you don't like to travel so much now.
Yeah. That could be part of it.
I had never been on an airplane until I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
Did you have to throw the years away?
Yes.
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 And I threw up on Nunzio, my stuffed panda that I got at Brookfield Zoo, but he was washable. But the ears, I didn't make it.
But anytime, like.
So maybe it's a souvenir thing.
Maybe.
Whenever we mention a city, like you go Pittsburgh, you go, that's where the giraffes attacked us when we were kids.
Tales of woe. We were family vacation, same family as I was a kid, trying to drive to Cape Cod because we had never been there.
Yeah.
I was a little worried because this is the summer that Jaws came out. So I was a little worried about going.
74 or 5?
Yes.
75 probably, right?
And we never made it because we got hit by a semi and I got a concussion.
I remember that.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Where was the accident?
Oh, boy. That I don't remember.
So it's funny that the vacation you didn't take, the way you described it was you were afraid to take that, too.
Right.
I was afraid of the vacation because of Jaws.
Because, well...
I'm just afraid of everything, evidently. Tornadoes and vacations.
I did a swim in Lake Mantino after Jaws came out.
Wasn't that something you thought... Are you kidding? Because I'm not either.
No.
It was hard to even swim in a swimming pool.
Yeah, it was.
But wait, when somebody explained to you that there has been an exact 0% chance ever of a shark in a lake...
Okay, Mr. Irrational Fear of Needles. We all have irrational fears that take... over us.
But I know the needle is going to pierce my skin.
A shark could pierce your skin as well.
Not in Lake Mantino.
In the lake, probably not.
Or in a chlorinated pool that you can. And even in the pool, you can see the bottom.
Right.
I mean, how were you
in a bathtub that summer?
Okay, but if somebody threw a shark in there, it could bite you and then die in the chlorine.
So somebody would transport a shark from the ocean to the lake.
You never know. Well, pranksters were all around then.
I think we know. That probably wasn't going to happen.
It was still just the concept of something. And then, you know, maybe you have an older brother who grabs your legs from underneath and freaks you out.
Making the noise, making the... Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, noise.
Exactly.
Well, good thing you got in the crash then, so you missed all that.
Maybe I should turn my life around with Steve Bertrand travel. Like,
that
you know,
would work.
I'm not a big traveler
be
because of terrible trips I've had as a child.
Right.
Adult trips have been great, though.
We got a trip to going to Ireland in September. We'll put you on.
Shark-free.
Shark-free.
Tornado-free.
A lot of Atlantic, though.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Can you swim in dark water? Because I can't. Like, if there's no
dark
light,
water,
I wouldn't go in the ocean at night. If the pool doesn't have lights, I will not go in. Dark water, there are bad things under there.
I didn't know what you... That sounded so weird. Can you swim in dark water?
It sounded like something a pirate would say.
Or something in a fortune cookie.
Avoid dark waters.
Don't swim in dark water.
And here are four lucky numbers.
A listener points out, I have a fear of vacato.
Vacation
and tornado.
Seriously, that's it. Those are the two. So how does the tornado thing manifest itself when you know that there's tornadoes somewhere in the Midwest? Does that change your plans? What happens?
When the siren goes off, I grab my phone, the charger. I have a crank-up battery radio. I have a crank-up flashlight.
Yeah.
And I go on meltdown.
Does it get that bad, really?
Yeah, I go in the basement and... Yeah, and there were, I saw funnel clouds when I lived in Brookfield. There was a funnel cloud. It hadn't touched down to turn into a tornado, but I saw those.
Yeah.
How
are you around funnel cakes? Are you okay?
I love funnel cakes.
Yeah, they're delicious, right?
How about when you have a recipe and you need to funnel the juice into the...
Good. Just laugh at me.
No, I'm not laughing at you. Well, no, we are.
We are.
I grew up on the edge of town, and so...
I grew up on the wrong
other side,
of
the track.
No, literally, I did. It was like one of the next to last streets. So when there was darkness on the edge of town,
and
okay, Springsteen,
storm coming in from the west, I had a great view of the west.
Yeah,
and I would just we'd sit in the yard and watch the storms come in. It was great. I used to love watching thunderstorms approach.
I like that, but I need to have my house near me.
Oh, well, yeah,
in the basement.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And it's just, that's the one time there was a tornado warning. Do you go down in the basement when there is a siren?
Oh, if there
Please
is a
siren. Please tell me you do. Bill doesn't.
You probably never heard a siren,
I swear, when I was growing up, the town we lived in, Oak Forest, when we moved in, was called Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. Which, I don't know what my parents were thinking when they went, that's the place for us. Because that's a term that when you hear, you go, I'll live somewhere else then if Tornado Alley exists.
Although Plainfield mainly.
There were a bunch of places that were called Tornado. I've come to learn.
That's exactly right.
Right? Yeah, it wasn't just Oak Forest. But we would hear the siren on an average summer 4 or 5 or 6 times. Where I live now, I've never heard it once. We've lived there for almost 20 years. I've never heard it.
Well, north, and I know Tom Skilling, because people say, oh, it can't come downtown where the lakes are. Yes, it can. He's disputed that.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I bet you'd, it's cooler up north, so I wonder if you don't get as many tornado warnings as...
There are fatal tornadoes in Wisconsin, and I mean that I don't think that has to do with it. I think one of the things is the forecasting and the tracking of the storms is so much better.
They know earlier.
Oh, they tell you a day in advance there could be tornadoes tomorrow.
That's my point. So when there's a tornado reported, you know, when I was growing up, if there was a tornado reported 10 or 15 miles away, they may well have flipped the sirens because they weren't sure. They weren't as sure where it was going.
Because of the path
so
of the tornado.
Probably a lot more sirens, yeah.
But
does your town do that, like that sample tornado warning on Tuesdays? Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm here, but I think so.
I'm just having an image of you. You just kind of alluded or said that the tornado doesn't follow one track, right? Right?
Right.
So when you're running from a tornado, do you zigzag like you're running from a
serpentine?
Bear?
Serpentine.
Yep,
serpentine,
you have to serpentine.
And, but see, that's why I go in my basement. And
do you still run in your basement? No.
Whatever, go ahead. I will be safe from a tornado. There was one time my youngest son Dylan was in the hospital. He needed some saline solution, had a bad baby cold and became dehydrated. And I'm at Hinsdale Hospital and I hear the sirens going off, so I called home and say, Jim, take
Batten down the hatches.
Yeah, get Michael in the basement. What are you doing? He goes, I'm giving him a bath.
Oh.
I'm like, do you hear the siren? Has the bath been moved into the basement? No, we're on the third floor. What? Get in the basement. Well, I got to dry him up. I don't mess around with that.
Yeah.
Is that lightning?
Lightning, yeah, outside, yeah.
I'm having a...
It'll be there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of.
We are closer to the lightning up here than we've ever been.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
How's your nap going? You okay? You still going to take that nap?
Whatever you do, don't turn your back to the window.
Okay, that's super funny because I have to have it that way.
Right.
I know that.
Right, right.
I'm stressed.
David Tell's on hold. Sorry, Dave, we're out of time. We started talking about the tornado, so no time for Dave. We may talk to Dave when we come back. There was some confusion
snafu?
About the times. Yeah, that's what there was, Wendy, was a snafu. Yeah.
Afraid of snafus as well.
Are you afraid? Fear of snafus? We'll take a break. We'll come back. There's more show. Stick around. It's Bill Effen. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Steve tried to scare me.
Steve did try to scare you. Steve, that wasn't very nice. There was a loud clap of thunder, and Steve pointed it out to you, Wendy, and we've already established you're afraid. This sort of weather makes you scared. There's something about this weather. It's just it's the rain, it's the thunder, it's the lightning, it's the threat of a tornado makes you scared. It's reminded me of a story, but before we get to my story, can we please talk to
Diane?
To line one? Yeah, Diane on line one.
Hey, Diane.
Good morning.
How are you, Diane? What's up?
My dad said when he and his brother were young, they lived on the Jersey Shore. They would grab their raincoats and a rope and go down to the shore, tie themselves to the posts of the boardwalk, and wait out the storm.
It's a little
and
extreme.
They would get so strong that they would be blown sideways at times.
That's not fun. Now they do that on the Weather Channel all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And for the most part, was that their best line of defense to do that, do you think, or not?
No, it was exciting.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I don't like excitement.
Now, mind you, when he's telling us kids this, he's a little bit older, and he goes, damn, that was stupid.
Yes. He's right.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Diane.
Thanks,
be
Diane.
Careful out there, okay?
Thank you. Apparently, it's much worse by you. I live right by Lake Geneva, and it's very calm here.
It's nice there. Mm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Diane. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We took the kids to Myrtle Beach one year, and we're in, like, at a condo on the ocean, and a storm came through. Why are you looking at me? I'm not trying to make you scared.
No, I'm just listening.
A storm came through, and it was a tornado near us. It wasn't directly at us, but the winds lifted up the pool furniture. I can still remember a chair that was lifted up 2 or 3 stories and then dropped back.
Wow.
Seriously?
And we,
that's horrible.
We're watching out our hotel window.
That's scary, Steve.
You know what it is? I just realized that I'm afraid of instability. That's really what it is.
No, you're right.
Because you don't know. That's
anything
called anxiety.
Happen.
Well, drew you to radio, right?
Right. Yes.
Yes.
The most unstable of all lifestyles.
We can talk to Maria Bamford about anxiety because really.
She knows the anxiety angle.
And anxiety is worrying about things that haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
Depression is worrying about things that have already happened.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and just live my life for today.
For the second. Live it for the second. Where I was growing up, this is when I was very young. We lived in an apartment, and the people who lived across the quad from us were from Kansas. They were farmers in Kansas who decided to, you know, change their life around and move here. So anytime the weather would get like this, anytime it was a little iffy, the man would come outside, and he would, like, wherever it was either the windiest or the most wide open, and he would do that thing. He would just stare off into the distance, and he would kind of squint. You know the way James Dean did in all 3 James Dean movies? He would just kind of squint, and he would wait a while, and then he would nod, and then he'd come over to us, and he'd go, either, it's going to be okay, or we got to get inside quick.
Well, like duh.
I know. That's, I didn't grow up on a farm in Kansas. Right. Those are your 2 extremes. But he said it with so much, like, power. Like, trust me. I'm a guy who was a farmer in Kansas. I know what I'm talking about. We got about 25 minutes until all hell's going to break loose. So get inside now.
That reminds me of the phrase, blow over. Oh, it's going to blow over.
Right. Because eventually it will.
Well, no.
Yeah.
One way or another.
It didn't blow over us. It missed us.
Wendy, isn't it true that if lightning hit the antenna of the building you're in, it could travel down through the wires and through your headphones and into your head?
Yes.
Did you text that, Bertrand?
I did not. I wish I had.
That would happen. Didn't they tell us when we first moved to this building, didn't they explain something about how well-tethered this building is that we live in? Didn't they explain that to us?
How well-tethered it is?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
They gave us a bunch of, like, things, safety things, that the features that this building has.
Yeah, we had to go to a safety seminar.
And wasn't one of them, like, if the building got hit by lightning, it's rubberized somehow? Wasn't that one of them?
No, but I'll go with that.
I'm pretty sure they said
that
to us.
It's rubberized.
Yeah, it's made of rubber.
You mean it's grounded?
I think there are a couple rooms inside that are rubberized.
That's a definite.
Guys, in 5th grade, this is a text from 630. We were altar boys. We altar boys were rewarded and went to a picnic at St. Jude's in Moments, Illinois. We were sitting on the hillside when the tornado sirens went off. We were frozen watching the black and orange skies form the funnel cloud.
Oh.
We were grabbed by the nape of our necks and taken inside. That's scary, man.
There were 2 different times in Florida where I was out on a boat and you could see, I guess they're, all right, so what's it called where it's like a tornado but it's at sea? Is that a funnel cloud or is that something else? A squall? Is it a squall? What's it called?
You mean like a water cyclone?
You see a spout.
A water spout,
yeah.
It's a water spout. So we saw those from the boat, and in both cases, the captain went, nah, it's all the way over there. We're over here. It's over there.
It's in the same water.
That's what I kept thinking.
But they'll happen on Lake Michigan, too, sometimes, and they're not really strong storms. I mean, they look like a tornado, but they're not as bad as.
Have you seen them on Lake Michigan here, Steve?
I don't know if I've ever actually seen. I've seen pictures of them, and I know often we'll forecast that there's a good chance for water spouts.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not a. I bet every summer or 2 there's. No, I mean it. Yeah.
You should see Wendy's pacing right now, Steve. She's walking back and forth.
I don't want to see it.
They're really not strong storms, a water spout generally.
Yeah.
Unless you see the fish high in the spout.
Right. Or an itsy bitsy spider.
Okay,
then you're in trouble. Once you see the itsy bitsy spider, all bets are off. You have nothing to worry about.
Wendy, stand still. You're making me nervous now.
I can't.
There used to be carpet under where you're standing. It's completely worn away now. What happened? That's in one day.
Oh, did you see that one?
You're not helping. You're not helping. Everything's going to be fine. You know that.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Radio antennas are usually grounded. So the lightning would take the path of the least resistance to the ground, but it would hit Bertrand.
It says that?
Yes.
It says that online?
Yes.
So also we had a TV antenna, you know, that and from the ground up growing up. So when there were storms or fires, I would climb the antenna.
What?
Especially with the fire department, because I lived in a flat, small town. So I could climb my TV antenna and see the fire trucks, which way they were leaving town.
And you would do that by your own will? Nobody forced you to do that? Wow, Steve, very brave.
It was pre-cable.
Very brave.
Obviously, it was an antenna.
Yeah. Although they say that's the way to get the TV signals now. Get an old-fashioned antenna on your house.
Yeah,
we have one. It's just not connected to anything. There's no wire.
That's the way to play it. Yeah. That's the way to play it. So have we eased your fears?
Sorry. Whatever.
All right.
It'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm positive.
It's not even that bad. I mean,
No, it's not bad at all.
I'm telling you, if there's ever a tornado warning, I am out of here. So you're going to have to. I'm not going down with the ship. I'm telling you. We're on the 18th floor here. Yes.
Keep talking. I'm going to need your attention here in just a second.
Okay. Big story ahead?
Yeah. Actually, it's the weather. We are seeing some pretty serious weather situations.
See, I don't know if I believe you now.
Steve's a newsman. He wouldn't lie. It's on the up and up. I can vouch for Steve. He's in the Walk of Fame.
That's true.
They would
Do
take
you need
that
time, or can we take a break, and you can... Is there inclement weather coming up?
Give me one second here.
All right.
Stay with me. There's apparently a tornado warning just being issued in the Dwight area.
Okay. Guys, seriously.
But how far is Dwight from here? You're fine.
Well, it's quite a ways, but we have a lot of listeners in Dwight.
Oh, I know. But for your own knowledge, Wendy, it's...
Get in your basements, Dwight people.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Where's the basement? Go.
All right. Is there more, Steve, or should we break?
You know what? Take the break, and I'll come back.
Do it during the news?
Yeah.
All right. Steve will keep you up to date on what's going on with this tornado. Wendy, you're fine. You're nowhere near Dwight. Everything's okay. And then Maria Bamford will
Can't
join
wait.
Us. That's coming up. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. In studio right now, Maria Bamford joins us. Maria, I've already told you this, but I want everyone to know. Wendy and I have this dream list of guests that we've always wanted on the show, and your name sits high atop that list.
Oh!
We're so excited.
I'm so grateful that your bar is so low. And, I'm delighted to be here and to jump.
Oh, excellent.
And I didn't mean to scare you when you first walked in. I just said, I love you, but I do.
No,
I just love you.
No, that's always what great greeting.
You're pro-love? I'm the fan of love.
And why would you get into show business except to receive
That's true.
Love?
I always
Real
say to
love.
People...
I ain't giving you that.
I always say to people, there's different levels of stand-up comedians, and you have brought the art of stand-up comedy to a level I've never seen before.
Some people don't consider it to be stand-up comedy, but that is the key to being a comedian, if I can give, is just to call whatever you're doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And that's
but you're telling your life story, right?
Yes,
that's what
yes.
it is.
Yes. I think it's very funny. I'm a very big fan of some of the stuff, because I try so hard some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I try so hard.
Not all the time.
Not all the time, but some of the time. Wow. I really put in at least 60%.
That's pretty good. That's a great percentage. But you're so brutally honest on stage. I've never seen anyone as honest during stand-up as you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a great... Somehow that isn't my... I don't mind sharing personal information at a group level. I love it. It's a comfort to me. I like to do preventative honesty. Guess what? These are the things I'm not good at.
Yeah.
So just in case, you know, if anybody's surprised, I do open book accounting. I don't know that where I always tell the comic, you know, what I'm earning and who opens for me. And then I tell them, you know, what the breakdown of costs are so they know that I'm not paying them well. And no, I try to pay. I pay everybody others.
Oh. That's okay. We just have a bit of a weather situation going down near the Dwight area, and we have listeners there that listen to it. So we will keep them. Now there's a special marine warning for
Carroll Marine.
for Burns Harbor to Michigan City, Indiana. We'll keep you posted, and trust me, we'll break in and have to interrupt you, Maria.
No,
if
please.
Some breaking weather happens.
No, I don't want to want people to be in danger just because they've got to hear about my show at the Den Theater.
The Den Theater tonight through Saturday. You want to visit thedentheater.com for all the ticket information. So our dream was, Wendy, and my dream was to not only have you on the show, but for there to be weather incidents while you're on our show. So this is really the best day ever.
Maybe there is a God. Maybe. I'm not saying. Mom seems to believe.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought your mom up, because here's the question. Do your parents appreciate what you're doing? I hope they do. Do they? Please tell me they do.
Yes. My dad, I asked him at one point, I said, Dad, what did you think of my TV show, Lady Dynamite? Because anyways. And he said, whatever you need to do for money. So they're very supportive that I think they are proud. At first, I think it bothered my mother that I did impersonations of her, and now she's delighted. If she thinks I've said something that she didn't say, then she'll just tell her friends that I'm ridiculous.
That's nice.
I love my mama. And yet she's very proud, I think.
Lady Dynamite, you mentioned that. Ed Begley Jr. played your father. And then if I remember this correctly, in an episode or two, all of a sudden another man was playing your father. And then Ed Begley Jr. came back. Was that your real father
dad? And he got really nervous.
It was awesome.
He got this, he got a very complicated line about space travel. And anyways, he had to do it about 15 times, 15 takes to try to get it. Anyways, it was very sweet. And, my dad had his buddies watch the show. Had them all. I had Lyle and Bill, and they came over, and I said, let's watch the show. We had to turn it off after about 15 minutes, just because they didn't, we didn't get it. But, everyone was very happy, for you.
he's very supportive
or tries to, but there's a limit.
I was mentioning earlier that you did a comedy special at your mom and dad's place,
yes,
where the audience was comprised just of your mom and dad, and they didn't seem to be enjoying it.
I got them pizza, I got them Japanese beer, I made cookies, I paid them each $600 a piece.
That's good money.
That's above,
Above scale.
Over scale.
Yeah.
And still, not the greatest audience. Not a hot crowd. But
was that idea warmly accepted, though, when you said, I want to do a special, but not in a club and not in an amphitheater. I want to do it at my parents' place. Did everybody buy that right away?
Yeah. And for whatever reason, I think there's so much content right now. People are very open. They just want to fill the time. And they said, at the time it was an internet company. And I thought, what's the easiest type of show I could do, which, closest to my bedroom? And it was actually my own home where it was shot. And then I didn't have to, because there's some weird pressure to performing for a thousand people.
Sure.
And then the people I'm really doing the comedy for is my parents.
It is kind of, isn't
it? Everything is for them. Look at me.
To get their approval,
Keep watch.
When you're a little kid.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I can jump in the pool. Watch me.
Yeah, I'm doing it again. Oh, those poor people.
That's so funny.
And Lady Dynamite was something that I watched. I believe our TV critic from Decider.com said, you should check out this show. So we did. We loved it. Watched it with my 19-year-old son. You talked about anxiety, depression, bipolar. And I love, it runs in my family, I love that it's being talked about openly.
Yeah. And I think it's so much better than it was when I was growing up. I mean, I'm just...
You sucked it up.
Sucked. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, I think, there was all the, my mom, I remember, one of my older jokes was like, honey, when you don't wear makeup, you look mentally ill. And, now, so then I said, Mom, I put a line of lipstick around my lips. Baby look pretty now, Mommy? Baby look pretty now? But there's so much stigma about it, but not as much anymore.
Yeah.
I see so many more this television shows, obviously, talking about it, and I think comedians, I mean, I've seen comedians who talk about mental health issues that I haven't heard about, which is such a delight. It's like, it's so great. If you were, I'm sure stand-up in Chicago is like this, the diversity of like,
yeah.
I'm Muslim, I'm have schizoaffective disorder, and I'm also bisexual, you know, and it's like, yes! Like, let's hear about a new experience besides the person going through their sock drawer going, why are the socks, where are they going? I mean, not that that is true.
Right.
We are missing a lot of socks.
Yeah, we are.
And it is odd. But it is so delightful to hear different, at least as a comedian, there's just so much more.
But don't you think you're kind of paving the way, saying it's okay to have a flaw and talk about it? You're part of it.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I think that's been, our artists have always done that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, because Jonathan Winters did it when he
sure.
went through, he was on the Emmys, and he had spent, I think, almost a year in a psychiatric
yep.
facility, and his first line when he came out on stage was, I'm out. You know, and you know, that was a long time ago,
yeah.
and I'm sure before that. So, anyways, we're all. I've definitely benefited from people talking about it before me. So.
Excellent. We're so glad that you're here. Maria Bamford is performing in town at the Den Theater. 6 performances tonight through Saturday. You want to visit thedentheater.com. All your ticket information is there. We'll pick this up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. If you've never seen Maria Bamford perform live on stage, this is your chance. She's in town at the Den Theater tonight through Saturday. Thedentheater.com has all your ticket information. Congrats to you on 4 years of happily wedded bliss.
Thank you.
I can tell you're very much in love. I can see it
oh,
in your eyes.
Thank you. Oh, yes. I'm so grateful to him. I mean, my husband and I, we both had the same experience of not... His longest relationship was 3 years. Mine was 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like in our late 40s. And it's like, come on. Come on, let's do this. Like, so we started going to therapy like 3 months in. Just like, Leslie, we got to get some outside help. We got to
mm-hmm.
get a village of people who are telling us what to do. And it's been really wonderful. I just am really grateful to have a... I mean, it turns out marriage can be fun.
Oh, good.
Super fun.
That's excellent. He's not in show business?
No, he's a painter. He's
oh,
a painter.
Wow.
So he does still lifes and
yeah.
Portraits and stuff like that. So, but he is very much appreciator. He loves comedy,
yeah.
which that's all you need.
Yeah.
You need somebody who loves it.
Yeah.
He's down to watch some stand up. So
nice.
So
I'm
yeah.
so happy for you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You find the right person. It's like the slumber party that doesn't have to end. You know, when
yes,
you had a slumber party
yes.
and then your parents would pick you up in the morning and you're like, no, I want to stay here all day and watch movies in my pajamas. But a good marriage is the slumber party doesn't end and you can leave your pajamas on.
Yes, sometimes he pulls up his pajama pants.
His trunks or whatever they're
all
called.
All the way up to his chin.
Yeah.
And then he kind of tiptoes around the pool. We have a pool. And I've had a television show. And and then I chase him while yelling, Mr. Cassidy! Mr. Cassidy! Mr. Cassidy! I don't know. We're going to try to pitch it to Nat Geo. I'm not sure.
That would be a good show. I'd watch that every week. I would love that show.
But yeah, just fun that you get to have fun all the time. Sing songs together. We wrote a song about our therapist, Carol Grisham. And go to Carol Grisham. She reflect back what your partner is trying to say to you, and it normalizes conflict. Carol Grisham. Scott freaked out because I locked him in the garage by accident for 2 hours. And he told Carol Grisham. She kind of giggled. Then he felt irritated and unsafe. But then we all laughed. Carol Grisham.
She could use that as a jingle if she
yes.
advertised on radio or TV. That's her jingle right there.
Well, she was... We had her... Yeah, I mean, she's been... She's a lovely lady. She has long silver hair that you can tell she sets in hot rollers because she fudging cares about herself. She has high self-esteem, this lady. And
Carol Grisham does.
Carol Grisham. And we can go see the Grish anytime we want. because she takes insurance.
Oh, she does?
Yes.
Was that her name in Lady Dynamite?
Yes.
Was that a character's name?
Yeah.
That sounded familiar to me.
Oh, we love the Grish.
How did she feel about you using her actual name?
She doesn't care. She's in her 70s. She doesn't care less. She's like, she tells her stories about her son, her wayward son. Sometimes he pees in the backyard. But it scares away the deer.
That's a positive.
Carol, Grisham.
Who's therapizing who?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's so healing, the whole situation.
For everybody.
It really is.
What do you think was happening at the 1 year mark? You said you had never had a relationship that went beyond a year. What was happening at the 1 year mark?
It's that point where, you know, when you have with family where you have a disagreement and it's like, usually with family, you just go, oh, you go to hell. And then and then you see him an hour from there and you go, do you want to go to lunch? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like no big deal. But with a romantic relationship, I thought you should never have any disagreements. Or I just say, oh, we disagree. Oh, I'm heading out then.
Yeah.
It's been a good run.
It's over.
It was kind of like that, learning how to deal with differences of opinion, which is so sad. I mean, it's part of the reason I'm a stand-up is because I like to hear the sound of my own voice amplified while I'm lit, preferably. With no heckling.
Preferably.
You have so many voices. Of course, Adventure Time is a big one. And Arrested Development has just been renewed for that last gasp. Are you part of that?
Yes, I am.
I can't wait.
I play the part of Debris, D-E-B-R-I-S.
Pretty.
She's a methamphetamine addict.
Oh.
Who is the girlfriend of... one of the characters. So
One of the Bluths.
One of the Bluths.
Yeah. Did I see you on Portlandia also?
Yes. I got to be on that.
How about that?
Yeah, no, I am well employed.
It seems.
So grateful. Yes.
What's the one thing you've done, Maria, that you say to yourself, I know I'm in show business, but I can't believe this is happening to me?
Well, I had a bit of a fire festival moment last weekend where they do this... they did a redo of Laugh-In, where Laugh-In, which was an extraordinary show.
Ronan that, Martin's Laugh-In.
Right, where they did in the 60s, where they did it over weeks at a time with a cast that knew each other.
Yeah.
They decided to do it in one night, no rehearsal, with a cavalcade of stars where no one knew, everyone was just reading off teleprompter. Oh, I got to be a part of that, and so I was hunched behind this wooden structure that was a little bit rickety that they had just made so you could pop out the joke wall, with Lonnie Anderson to my right in 4.5-inch platform heels. She's 80-something and tiny, and then Taye Diggs on the other side, and then it was just so odd.
That's excellent.
So odd.
Who hosted this?
It was Neil Patrick Harris and Tiffany Haddish. And there's some very...
Today's Ronan Martin.
Well, exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. They spent so much time together and they came up. They came up together. And, but anyways, I think it was funny, but it was just one of those things where you go, What is happening? Like, it was just so strange, but it paid very very well.
So, wow. Just the memory alone is payment
enough. And I think I just get so anxious about those things because it's the type of thing where you get there and I'm not famous, I'm not sure why I'm there. And so, like, I had to change into an outfit, and I said, oh, can I go into the changing room? And they said, no, that's for celebrities only.
Oh, no.
And so I went out into the hall, and I was, like, trying to find a place. It was just one of those show business moments where it's like, I've been on a TV show where they're serving hot dogs, and I said, oh, can I have this? No, that's for principal talent. And then you start questioning, am I out of line? What does it mean? Am I any good? And then you just slink off into a corner.
Once you get free hot dogs, you know things are going your way.
Well, there's the same freaking hot dogs a thousand yards away, but it's just behind a truck that's running. And those are the hot dogs I can have.
Right. For the common folk.
For the extras.
Right.
Is it Tobias that you're hooked up with?
Yes, Tobias. Yes.
David Cross.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I just had to find that out because it was driving me nuts.
No, we're so happy to have finally had you on and to meet you. Please come back. We would love to have you back anytime.
I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having
me. Absolutely.
And I have much less mumbling when I'm on stage. I'm very much well rehearsed.
Yes, of course. It's
FYI.
It's Maria Bamford,
I still
everybody.
Love you. Thank you.
Still. She's at the Den Theater tonight through Saturday. Visit thedentheater.com. All your information is there. Good luck with everything this
Thank
week.
Thank you so Great much for having you. Me. Thank you.
More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then he's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
I look forward to talking to Dean.
Dean.
We all do. We do. We just do. Hi, Dean.
I just like to sing the song.
Do you sing it when you're just driving around? Just driving around town?
I find myself humming it all the time.
It's on the top of the charts right now.
Yes, it is.
Went to number one.
Sometimes, you know, I'll be just be standing somewhere and have my Jew's harp in my pocket.
Yes.
And I'll get it out.
Didn't Fraser Thomas used to have play one of those?
Yes, he did.
I remember that.
That's where I learned about the Jew's harp.
Yeah.
My son has one and plays it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Except he calls it something different.
Jaw harp, probably.
Yes.
Right?
Or a mouth harp.
Mouth harp. Dean, here's a topic that came up yesterday,
hey,
and
Beavis.
I thought to myself...
Hey, Beavis, she said mouth harp.
Oh, my God.
All right, so here's
Grow up, the two
this
of
is
you.
A question that came up yesterday, and who better suited to answer it than you? Mm. Of course, this big college cheating scandal,
right,
with Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin.
Crazy.
All right, so we were during the bonus hour yesterday, we were discussing the merits of will or will they not ever work again. What do you think?
I think they will.
This is nothing. I mean, it's something.
I think they will, too.
I think they will. I mean, this is... You know, people have been comparing it to Cosby and Kevin Spacey.
What?
And,
yeah.
You know,
really?
In the sense that will they ever work again? But I think the alleged offenses are so different. I think that they'll probably wind up paying, you know, whatever penalty, maybe some jail time. You know, I have a hard time believing that might happen, but it's possible.
Will they play themselves in a made-for-TV movie about the incident?
It'd be fantastic. I hope they work this into an episode of Fuller House.
Yes.
Can I say something, though? I mean, whether they work again may not be up to them, but do they want to work again? Wouldn't you be just so unbelievably embarrassed?
Yeah, I would. I would definitely. But...
But Dean,
know, I see them getting, you know, I see them getting book deals out of it, and you know, tremendously profiting from all of this.
At the sake of their kids, though, they didn't show any faith in their children.
But one of the first people to criticize them was Rob Lowe, and I kept thinking as this was going on, there was a time not that long ago where Rob Lowe was the punchline of every joke because of his involvement in a videotape,
his sex tape that he
made. And then people just forgot about that.
Yeah, that's. I think, you know, and I think that because so many things like this are happening now to very famous people, the bar has been set very low, and you know what was not acceptable years ago is, you know, nobody even pays attention to some things that are going on, and that goes for entertainment people, business people, political people. You know, it's happening all the time. What I'm finding most interesting in the story, are you familiar with Lori Loughlin's daughter, who is, I guess,
a YouTube sensation.
A huge YouTube sensation.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name that she uses.
Olivia Jade.
Something like that.
Jade.
So while her mom was being taken away by the cops.
Yes.
Had a post, was a $1 million bond. I guess that make the bond
$100,000. 10%. Yeah.
$1,000 something.
Yeah.
So while her mom is being hauled off to the Hooskow, and I just like using
it's
that
fun
word.
Fun to say Hooskow.
Hooskow. the daughter who is, you know, if you believe the allegations against Lori Loughlin and her husband, they allegedly bribed USC officials to put their daughters as part of the USC crew team that would automatically get them admitted to USC. So while mom's being taken off to jail, little daughter is on the yacht of one of the trustees of USC, spring breaking it up.
Yep.
seems like you might want to be a little bit sensitive to what's going on with your mom.
And she knew, like, day one, Felicity Huffman didn't know that FBI agents would come to the house and bring her in. But day two, Lori Loughlin knew that was coming. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Knew it was going to happen. So, yeah, I'm going to get arrested today, honey. What are you going to do? I'm going to go hang out on the yacht of the very people who you are accused of bribing.
It's a little insensitive.
It's just like the inside to this whole thing. This is the same daughter that on her YouTube page was talking about how she didn't even want to go to college. She wasn't even interested in college. All she was interested in were the parties and the games and the social life.
The drinking.
That went with
not the schooling end of it.
Yeah, but that's where the parent comes in and says, yes, you are going to college.
Yeah, I just bribed somebody, so allegedly.
Right.
And her dad is Mossimo. He is that fashion designer that you see all over the place. So it's not like, I just feel like they could have given money and maybe gotten him in a backdoor way instead of cheating on a test.
Right, right.
Mossimo money, Mossimo problems.
Yeah.
You know that.
Any truth to this Johnny Depp?
I'm going to have that needle pointed on a pillow for you, Bill.
Thank you.
Johnny Depp story now that he's actually the one who is claiming he was abused and Amber Heard severed his finger when she threw a vodka bottle at him, and so now he's countersuing. Any truth to any of this?
So ugly, yeah. I haven't talked to Johnny Depp today to find out one way or the other.
Isn't it weird?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of the more uglier divorces. He said, she said, I'm suing you. I'm going to write an article. I guess it all started when she wrote an article about domestic violence. Didn't exactly name Johnny Depp, but it was more than implied that that's who she was.
An unnamed pirate, she would write. We knew who she meant.
Who walks like Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones.
Who could that
be? Who in every way emulates a Rolling Stone, I shall not name.
I won't tell you who.
So that went on. So Johnny Depp sued her for defamation for that. And then it's just gone back and forth. I mean, this
horrible.
It's ugly and it's awful. And
they both deserve better.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I think. I wish they would just bribe somebody and make it easier.
Make it go away.
It's a lot less ugly if you just bribe somebody and
so true.
Get hauled off to court and your kids can go do something embarrassing.
Yeah,
I feel bad. I feel bad for all of those involved. You know, that's I don't know about you two. I guess probably you grew up in a very similar, you know, middle class way as I did for college. I got very little help. You know, I was the first one in my family to go to college. We had to work and struggle and pay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was all that.
Financial aid.
You know, for a long time, you know, you feel bad. It's like, wow, why did I have to do all that? And other people are getting all kinds of privilege. I'm sort of glad. I feel a little bit proud that, you know, we did it the hard way.
Yeah.
And the school of hard knocks, Dean.
Yes. That's right.
That's right.
I remember getting on the streetcar for a nickel in a snowstorm.
I don't want to run out of time. So
and it was summer. That's the weird part.
Why was there snow in the summer?
It was weird.
Because of the war.
Jussie Smollett pleads not guilty on these 16 counts.
Yeah, I just heard the news about that.
That is
gutsy.
Unbelievable.
Presumption of innocence.
Yeah,
I'm not defending him. I have no idea what this man did or did not do. But I do believe in our system where somebody is innocent until they're proven guilty. And he says he didn't do it. So now he has to go to, he'll go to a court. Some people say that, he was going to plea bargain his way out of this whole thing. He absolutely says he did not do any of the things that he is accused of doing. And that police superintendent Eddie Johnson, all the things that he said in that very emotional press conference are untrue. So,
wow.
Can't wait to see how this turns out.
We wait and see.
More with Dean Richards in just a moment. The other IKEA hunk, Dean Richards, is on with us right now, Wendy.
You should see me on a bed that I made myself.
I made my bed, too.
No, it means it's different, though.
Oh, I guess.
For me, I use tools to make mine.
Yep.
I had a ratchet.
One single Allen wrench.
Yes.
That was provided with the bed.
A couple of movies opening this weekend, Dean. Let's start out with Wonder Park. It looks like a kids movie. Is it a kids movie or more?
Yeah, no, it's one of these kids movies also that is like really for kids. You know, there are a lot of movies the kids' movies, animated movies that come out that are clearly, you know, there's a level of humor for adults and a level mm-hmm. of humor for kids. This one is pretty much for the kids, and it's pretty much for a littler kids, called Wonder Park. It's a story about a little girl and her mom who imagine a magical amusement park with talking animals. And, you know, they just kind of build this whole thing up in their minds of, you know, just as a way of having fun. The mom has to go away, turns ill, and has to go away. And the little girl, kind of in her sadness of all of that, kind of isolated and desolate, but in the woods finds what appears to be this magical amusement park that they have always imagined. Only it's in, you know, it's in kind of a dilapidated shape. So she, the movie is about her building this amusement park back up into what was imagined. Not an overly intricate story. Nothing, you know, there are a few sweet little moments in it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked it. I gave it a Dean's List B-.
Did you notice in every kids movie, and I don't see every kids movie, but I see the trailers for them, there's always a scene where some animal, usually a pelican, but not always, gets hit with something, and then they look at the camera and they go, that's going to leave a mark. That happens in every kids movie trailer.
Now that you're mentioning it, I do notice that. The signature, that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, it's in every kids movie. I don't know why. But
now, do you feel weird going to the kids movies like I do? Because, you know, normally when I see movies and I see, I don't know, five movies a week, or seven movies a week. So I'm usually by myself. I rarely am with anybody. But not that this would make anything better.
Right.
But I'm a grown man sitting by myself.
Yeah, I can
see
what
children's movie.
You should do a contest where a listener can lend you their kid to go see these movies.
That would seem strange.
Uncle
Dean
babysitting, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole new documentary for HBO later on.
That's going to leave a mark.
A Chicago movie critic.
And I can't believe the parents let the kid go and do it.
Yeah. How about that?
Maybe I could do it with my own nieces and nephews.
Right. That'll work.
It'd be weird because some of them are in their 30s now. So
that's better.
It'd be two weird adults sitting there watching little kid movies.
Dean, the other movie is Gloria Bell,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is a really interesting movie. I really like this movie. It's Julianne Moore. It's one of my favorite actors in the world, John Turturro. A story about a rather humdrum life of a woman who works in an office, has kind of a humdrum job, and as she describes, a very boring family. But at night, she likes to go out to the clubs, like Wendy, loves going out to the clubs,
yep.
Looking for someone to join her on the dance floor. And this could be called the Wendy Snyder story.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I'll see it then.
Understood.
And it's the story of this weird relationship between these two people. John Turturro is a guy also hanging out in the bars. He's divorced. He is looking for, you know, to start a new life. And he kind of hits it off with her a little bit. And even more than the way the story plays out and what the plot line of the story is, I was mesmerized by these two incredible actors. It was like a master class of acting, watching both of them interact with one another, go inside of each of their characters, creating full dimension and such full interesting character to each of their roles. The movie itself is, you know, maybe a C or a C+,
mm-hmm.
but when you add in what these two in particular add to this movie, the fun and content of it, I think it elevated it up to a B+ for me.
Wow.
Just because of them. That's how much I liked it.
Yeah, they're both great.
Gloria Bell is the name. It's not in a lot of theaters. It's going to be one of those movies you're going to have to look around a little bit to find, but I think it's definitely worth it.
A lot of bells and whistles going off, Jen, in the newsroom with a warning.
Yeah, the National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Kendall and Will counties through 12:45 p.m.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate it. And Dean, thanks to you.
I'm sorry, 12:45 p.m.?
Correct.
Okay,
so another,
got it.
50 minutes.
All right.
That.
Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome.
Dean, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend.
And to you. Appreciate it. That's going to leave a mark, Dean. I just like to say that.
A shamrock
mark. A shamrock mark. All right, we'll take a little break and then close things off. Don't forget on the stream, the IKEA hunk is going to join us.
And we'll check in with Jen DeSalvo and the rest of the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.